This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
My friend of mine, Alex Taylor, who writes for YO Sports, YOSports.net, covering all things Wyoming Cowboys. Michael, if you didn't get that. Wyoming punter Bart Edmiston Jr. set to pursue legal actions over Nolan Wells' accusation. He is set to pursue legal action against social media content creators for accusing him of being involved in the death of a person named Nolan Wells, according to the Mississippi Free Press. Nolan Wells was found 18 years old, was found dead July 6th following a 4th of July boating trip to Horn Island in Mississippi. And the investigation has gained the attention of national media. Edmiston's family released a statement Wednesday morning stating he had helped Wells on July 4th. So I'm just going to read this part to you, and I'll get back to it. Hundreds of Mississippi Gulf Coast residents journeyed. This is from their parents, I believe, or from Bart's parents. Hundreds of Mississippi Gulf Coast residents journeyed out to Horn Island to celebrate the holiday on the 4th of July. Home from college, Bart Jr. was among them. He piloted his own boat to Horn Island and piloted his own boat home. When a nearby boat suffered a mechanical malfunction on the afternoon of the 4th, Bart Jr. gave advice and direct aid to this distressed vessel. As part of this, he boarded the distressed vessel, removed its transom plug, I don't know what that is, got back onto his boat and towed the distressed vessel for a short distance. These actions allowed water that had accumulated on the distressed vessel to drain. So they then there's a the, so this this no, this no, what's his name? What did I say his name was? This Nolan Wells is out there. Apparently, he's dead, and now this Bart Jr. by a social media group and random groups is accusing him of the murder. So they hired a lawyer, Russell Latino, on Wednesday. Latino released a statement, said, "I have been retained by the family of Bart Edmiston Jr. to pursue people defaming him with the wholly fabricated assertions of fact that are putting Bart, his family, and friends in harm's way. Bart received a credible death threat Tuesday because of some of the made-up speculation on Facebook and other sites. The FBI, state, and local law enforcement have all been activated. We have hired a private investigator firm to identify and track individuals engaged in defamation against the Edmistons. That you are young, naive, or lack the resources to pay a civil judgment will not deter us from filing a lawsuit against you. This is not about money for my clients. They want to protect their family, and they want to curb people who lie recklessly. We will address the falsehoods being presented methodically, but now is not the time for that." This is a really interesting story, Michael.
Now we're making it about the accusations and not the actual death.
Right, but if he's being accused of this and he didn't do it and he's receiving death threats, then he has a right to fight this.
You have the right, like, it's, this is a very interesting one. If real defamation.
Let me keep going. Here's what Edmiston's family said this in a statement. "With each new name mentioned by the media or on social media, a new mob immediately argues that person must somehow be culpable. Here are the facts." Though they write, "Facts are invented out of thin air. Artificial intelligence is used to distort or create photographs, videos, or audio. People begin to draw substantiated conclusions. So here's what they write. Here's the facts. This week, it has been Bart Jr.'s turn to be accused by thousands of online strangers who do not know him, do not know any relevant facts, and do not care about our community or the truth of what happened. We grieve for the loss of Nolan, but as a family, we are also concerned for the lives of our children and the safety of others being convicted in a court of public opinion without facts. This is really interesting. More on this group, the statement reads, to that end, we have retained legal counsel for the purpose of pursuing recourse against those individuals fabricating lies about him or our family. The first cease and desist and spoliation letter is being issued Wednesday to an online user who originated many of the falsehoods against Bart Jr. This user shared pictures of our home, our residential address, land plats, and information about our work, while simultaneously falsely asserting through various videos and posts that Bart Jr. is a suspect, that he caused or contributed to Nolan's death, or that he is involved in a cover-up of Nolan's death. It's a toxic combination in an emotionally charged environment.
Okay, that I understand.
Right, if you start, that's what I'm saying.
Like, if you know that the person did not commit a crime, if you're making up stuff, that's defamation. If you're sharing people's houses, You can be in trouble for any assault that takes place on the family due to these accusations.
Here's more on the statement of what they're saying happened. Let us be clear. Bart helped a boat that was in distress. He did not kill a friend, witness the death of a friend, or conceal the death of a friend. These are fictions made up by people with no actual knowledge of the events that day. Unfortunately, those fictions are seen by millions of people and oft repeated. There are a lot of questions in the story, though, Mike. Was Nolan on the boat? And was he already dead when Bart Jr. got on the boat to tow the boat, basically?
From what the family said, from what that release was, it sounds to me like he was aiding the person. That person probably would have already been on the boat. So if that is true, if we are to assume that is the truth, then
did he not know?
It sounds like to me the murder happened after.
And did he not know that there was someone dead on the boat at the time?
I mean, I don't know what the boat looks like. It is a small one, big one.
There's not tons right now, and I think Alex Taylor's working on that. But there's just a lot of missing pieces in this, because we know right now, according to this, the statement from the family and I believe joint statement with their attorney, that he piloted his own boat to Horn Island, piloted his own boat home. When a near boat suffered a mechanical malfunction on the afternoon of the 4th, Bart Jr. gave advice and direct aid to the distressed vessel. Part of this, he boarded the distressed vessel, removed its transom plug, got back onto his own boat, and towed the distressed vessel for a short distance. None of what I'm reading has any mention of any discussion or anything like that with Nolan Wells, who's passed away. Nothing I've read so far has any information saying the two of them crossed paths. I don't know if that person was on the boat that he gave advice to. If he died on the boat while he was... I don't know.
If he died on the boat while he was towing it, that's... To me, that's not a murder. If he was, driving wildly and the guy fell over, that's one thing. I don't know. I don't know enough information to accuse anyone of murder, and I suggest that anyone who's online, if you accuse someone of murder, that can be a serious issue for you. But if you're piling on, I don't know. Like, if you're like, oh, screw this guy, as long as you don't make the death threat, I don't think that's a huge deal. It just makes you look like an a-hole.
I looked up, so they're going to release more information on this story today, it sounds like. Investigators determined Wells went missing after he spent July 4th drinking heavily with friends on Horn Island, according to the document obtained by ABC News. ABC News, pursuant to a public records request. Wells' friends told authorities that they returned to shore because their boat was taking on water. So I would guess this is the boat in question that Bart Jr. was aiding. Wells stayed on the island with a girl he had met. Wells was found dead near Horn Island 2 days after Independence Day. So this leads me to believe that obviously he was not on the boat at the time Bart Jr. or Bart Edmiston Jr. was towing the boat, Mike. Is that kind of what you're gathering from this? Wells wasn't even on that boat. He stayed on the island, apparently drinking heavily, and then was just found 2 days later. So this is, I based on this information, it just seems like Edmiston sees a boat that was struggling, goes and helps the boat.
He said gave advice.
He talked to somebody on the boat. There were friends on the boat, but this Nolan Wells was not on that boat, apparently. And he's being accused of, by an online group, not authorities at this point, to be clear.
Got to wait for the authorities.
He's being accused by an online group of Nolan Wells' murder.
Yeah, this, to me, and I'm not in boating culture, but like this sounds like the I'm going to give you advice is a very boating culture thing. Like, oh, I'm interested in this thing.
Yeah, I see
you're
a boat struggling. I'm going to be a neighbor.
I want to help you out.
Yeah, I'm going to help you out and tow you back or whatever. Release the water from whatever was. I have no clue about boats. So it's all I'm just picturing him jumping onto their boat, giving them advice, doing something, and then towing them to release the water out of the boat so that the boat would then be safe.
So what I'm really trying to pay attention to is the drinking.
Correct.
Of the person who died. Like, because that says a lot. It doesn't say necessarily that it's not murder, but it says a lot. Maybe he fell into the ocean. Maybe he got into a fight with someone and that person went too far. I don't know. Just from what I hear on the whole show right now, it just sounds like a guy being nice who, like, an online community saw his name and got mad at him. And the online community, like, you have to wait for the cops.
Yeah. I've reached out to Alex. We'll try to get him on because I have questions about this story. It's a very interesting story. Sad story, of course. But and it does involve a local-ish player, you know, punting for the Wyoming Cowboys. So fascinating there. The WNBA has suspended Seattle Storm co-owner Celeste Keaton from attending the team's next five home games after her exchange with two fans who went viral on X during Tuesday's matchup with the Indiana Fever. According to multiple reports, Keaton had admonished a pair of fans who brought signs into Climate Pledge Arena supporting Fever guard Sophie Cunningham following her recent comments about transgender athletes. The fan told UndividedPod.com that Keaton directed expletives at them for a sign that thanked Cunningham for speaking up for girls. Along with the suspension, Keaton was fined an undisclosed amount, the league said. The hell are we doing?
They just want to tank themselves,
don't they? Dude,
the WNBA,
this is their co-owner, Celeste Keaton. See, and I saw a picture of these girls. They're wearing like shirts that have some kind of symbol that's supporting Sophie Cunningham in her very obvious take of transgender women should not be playing in men's sports. And you're going to get involved in that at the game? You're going to go verbally attack these young girls at the game?
How young were the girls?
They looked like teenagers?
Yeah. Look,
I don't know how old they were. I don't know. They look young.
Like, you shouldn't be attacking anyone anyway. You should, like, if you want to change someone's mind, have an intelligent discourse. This is the exact opposite of
and
what you want to
And you don't do it
happen.
At the game. Like, people wear stuff and wear shirts. And it's for what Sophie Cunningham said. I talked about it yesterday, Mike. I don't care if it's one. If the answer is one transgender athlete is playing in women's sports, a man that became a woman, that's too many. It's not right. And Sophie Cunningham saying it has sparked a lot of controversy in the WNBA.
I mean, someone has to say it. Like, you had that swimmer say it. Now you have a professional athlete saying it. It makes sense to me, scientifically.
Yeah, it's a wild world we live in.
No judgment on anyone who does transition, but, like, it's a very, very complicated situation. There aren't enough trans people to play, like, as far as I know, have their own league, but it's like why a man that transitions into a woman is taking a roster spot from a woman. Like, that's to me, if that happened to me, I'd be upset.
Yeah, it's just another example of the WNBA, like, do they not have real grown-ups running these teams? I mean, you got the commissioner that gets pissed when people ask her something about a player, and she says, would you be asking a man the same thing? And it was a very basic sports question. It was like, that's not a sexist thing to ask.
She went to the school of prime coaching answers.
Yeah, maybe. And you have, you know, they can't get out of their own way when it comes to Caitlin Clark, who is, you can argue with me all day, she is their biggest star. I don't care if she's not the best player in the league. She's probably close, but she is their biggest star. And they can't get out of their own way with that. They complain about their lack of pay nonstop when they don't really have the revenue to back that up. It's a league that just has no idea how to handle any kind of, even the smallest portion of success right now. Not that this is a success story, but it's a spark plug item surrounding the WNBA with Sophie Cunningham. There's got to be better ways to do this.
I mean, we talk about politics and sports all the time, but this is the wrong politics. Like,
yeah.
They're making everything political. And it's like, ladies, just play basketball.
Here's what their Storm majority owner, Ginny Gilder, said in a statement. Everyone who attends a Storm game deserves to feel welcome. And we remain committed to creating an inclusive environment where every fan is treated with respect. Like, that's how you do it. So then if someone wears a shirt in support of transgender players playing in women's sports, I would imagine the Storm co-owner, Celeste Keaton, would not have approached them at all.
Probably would have given them free season tickets.
Maybe. What are we doing here? What a terrible story.
I think we have a situation where the loudest people are dominating the news, and the loudest people are usually wrong in what they say. So hopefully the rest of the WNBA is normal and these loudmouths will just go away and we can focus on the basketball.
Yeah, can we get games going? Because here's this story. I don't know if you pay attention to the other UNC. The start of Bill Belichick's second fall camp as North Carolina's head coach. Questions about off-the-field chaos. Michael Lombardi, Belichick's right-hand man and the highest-paid general manager at a public institution in the country, $1.5 million salary, has been placed on leave due to an investigation that we don't know much about. Belichick was asked about it. UNC announced an official investigation. North Carolina. I want to make sure we're clear there. North Carolina.
Not the good one, the North Carolina.
Yeah, not the unpopular one. North Carolina announced an official investigation into Lombardi's conduct had begun, while Belichick largely sidestepped questions about the impact on his team.
And he kept saying, Seattle.
We're working through some things, is what he said.
Seattle.
He was in a news conference in which reporters were told he would not comment directly on Lombardi's status. School released a statement minutes before Belichick took the podium, saying that as a result of concerns behind allegations that led to the personal action regarding Michael Lombardi, announced on July 27th, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, through its Office of University Counsel, is in the process of investigating the matter. Man, that was a long way to say they're investigating the matter. University policy suggests most investigations into human resource matters take about 30 days, but Athletic Director Steve Newmark said there is no set timeline, though he added that he hopes it will be a quick process. We don't even know what this is about. Like, Newark declined to say if the investigation included any other members of the athletics department. He also declined to address reports that the College Sports Commission is currently investigating UNC's football program. Could have something to do with that.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Maybe paying some players illegally.
The reason the CSC exists is, you know, they were created in the wake of the House settlement that oversees outside name, image, and likeness and other things. So the fact that they are brought into this story, connected with him, leads me to believe that we might have something like that on our hands.
All right. So what's the under on Belichick's tenure?
I don't know. I'm the idiot last year that said he'll be in the playoffs in 2 years.
Yeah, I didn't think they'd be that bad last year.
I figured they'd have so much money to just throw at all these amazing athletes.
Yeah, but they're a basketball school.
Well, you bring Belichick in, it makes you popular, right?
Makes you popular until you find out that he's just another prime.
Taysom Hill. You know that name. He will not be returning to the New Orleans Saints for a 10th season, he confirmed in a statement posted to social media Wednesday night. He did not say whether he intended to retire, leaving the door open to playing elsewhere this season. Sean Payton, Taysom Hill, Broncos. Immediately the question comes up, would you like to see Taysom Hill in a Broncos uniform?
I'd like to see him on the practice squad.
Taysom Hill? On the practice squad?
Look, I'm gonna be honest with you. I like the quarterback situation that we have. We had that one really bad play with Jarrett Stidham.
I would say,
other than that, he's been good.
I would say no. I agree with you because I don't think you want to mess with Bo's reps or anything like that. Because you're gonna Taysom Hill's a, you know, he can run out there at tight end. He can play quarterback. You know, you can do a lot of interesting things with him. But I don't really want to mess with pulling Bo Nix off the field and letting someone else throw footballs.
I mean, we already have that kind of, this guy can play this and this and this, with Marvin Mims and R.J. Harvey. Do we need another one?
I don't believe so. It's a fine conversation. It's appealing, but I don't think I would sign off on that one, Michael. 26 minutes after the hour, those are the top stories of the day. That was a 26 top story minute segment, Michael. Wow. Lot of interesting things. We need sports to happen, not just baseball. We need to get into sports very quickly here. Keep it here on the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Should be a busy offseason for the Avalanche and the Nuggets. What needs to change? Follow along with us on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I mean, it's not my style of music. It's I like her voice.
I think it's a cool song.
I like to dance ironically to it.
That's weird. I don't want to picture that.
Well, no, you've seen me go do the like really bad,
yeah,
broken robot.
Yeah, you can't really do much of a robot back there.
I can't. Like my body just doesn't move.
You're
right.
Not a big dancer, are you?
No.
That's one thing we have in common.
I can't dance. Like, if you want to make a cliche thing, I dance very white.
Mm.
Although I can't square dance either.
Oh, okay. Is that a normal thing that people say?
I'm from Texas, don't you know?
I did square dance once. I did.
I did too.
And we had to do it for, like, a school thing.
Oh, right, P.E., when they were bored.
Yeah, like, why are we square dancing? Why did we? And we had to put that like a show on, and it was like a thing. People came in, each class did a different dance, and we got stuck with square dancing. It was awful.
Yeah,
I did not like it.
Dancing's not my thing. So I love music, but it's, I know. I'd rather sit there and listen to it than get up and dance to it.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have to do any kind of like school presentation thing like that?
It wasn't a presentation. It
like
was
singing
more
or anything.
Like, they said, okay, you're going to learn the electric slide. And all of us were like, what the hell is that?
You did? You learned the electric slide?
If I'm getting it right, I remember more the Macarena thing than the...
Oh, yeah, that was all the thing. That was, you know,
well,
what
that's
I
all
was weird?
Upper body.
We all had to learn how to play the recorders, like the little, like flute thingies. Did you have to do that?
No, at that school, you had to pay for stuff like that.
No, we
that
did.
Was,
we had to, we had to,
poor.
We had to pay for it. I had to pay for it. I had my own little whatever it is. I learned songs on it. Weird classes we had, you know, back in the day. Again, why are we square dancing? What is that teaching us?
I'm guessing they're like, okay, if you do this stuff like this, you're gonna fat belly gonna go down a little bit. Like I'm assuming that's why, and they're also trying to make it interesting because not everybody's into getting beamed in the face with a ball.
Oh, those were the best.
Yeah, so, that
dodgeball?
Was fun.
Dodgeball.
Dodgeball. I was terrible at dodgeball, but it was fun.
Did you do kickball in PE? Did you do like
when like in elementary?
Did you ever do kangaroo kickball?
What?
People don't think I'm telling the truth on this. We played kangaroo kickball.
I don't know what that is.
So
I play American
you
kickball.
You line up in the court, the entire court. So we would do it in the basketball court, in the gym. And you're lined up underneath the basket. That's where you kick the ball. First base is the right corner. Second base is all the way down the other end. Third base, there's four bases in this. Yeah, so third base is the next corner. And then home is at the very crossing the line on the other end again.
Yeah,
and we had a stage in the court. So
like
if you kick the ball,
only kicking?
If you kick the ball to the stage, that's a home run. But if you kick the ceiling, it was an automatic out.
What makes it kangaroo?
I have no idea. Did it come from Australia? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe we all just made it up. But it was so much fun.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe the teacher's like, I'm a big fan of marsupials.
Maybe.
So I'm going to name it kangaroo.
It was so much fun. That was a blast.
It is fun. Yeah. Like it's kind of the same ball as the.
The little red ball.
You know, the kickball. It's the same as the dodgeball. So maybe they just bought a bunch of those and they're like, ugh.
Dodgeball was
all
great.
Too new. Break them in.
Did you ever do the scooters? The ones that were like low to the ground, but they had those little wheels that you just, if you're going to get your fingers caught under there eventually and your fingers would be torn up from it. You'd scoot, you could run with it and then you jump on it with your knees and just glide across the floor.
No.
You never did those?
Never did that.
Mm.
I did play softball.
We did juggling.
0-3-8.
Yeah, but you beat the Rockies.
Sorry.
In the playoffs. How did you make the playoffs?
It's one of those, like, it's elementary school, so everybody makes the playoffs. And we made the playoffs and, like, beat the best team. With, like, Joshua Martinez. Amazing athlete. Like, sixth grade, probably would be able to dunk in seventh grade. Great, great athlete. And we beat his team.
Wow.
I think we saved, so I guess we're one.
But you
one,
advanced.
8-4.
You advanced to the next round and then lost, I'm assuming?
Yeah, yeah. It was a close one against the Reds. I think we lost 3-2.
Nah, that was a tight game.
The only reason, so we were one win, 9 losses, and 3 ties. And the 3 ties are, recess ended.
Oh, man, it's fun to hear that story because
yeah,
I heard you telling it.
3 inning softball.
No wins, and you got into the playoffs. A guy that complains about teams getting in the playoffs with an under 500 record took advantage of the system and made the playoffs with no wins registered in the regular season, and then you made it to the playoffs and won a game, and you brag about that.
Well, it was elementary school, so you never got cut from a team. You went to the playoffs automatically. The next year in seventh grade, like, I tried out for the football team, and that didn't go well.
Didn't make the team?
No.
Were you sad? Were you sad? Were you bummed out?
I was a little bummed out, but I think I understood, we're growing up, and we have to play real sports. Can't let everybody on. Like, not everybody can get a win.
We were so small, Mike. We didn't have tryouts or anything like that.
Were you 6-man?
8. We were 11-man until I got into high school, and then we moved to 8-man.
Okay.
But I would have
everybody
made it.
Was leaving.
I would have made every team.
I just want to let you know, I did.
That was so good, Mike.
Get a bigger trophy. It was like the MVP and I both got the biggest trophies in basketball my sixth grade year.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah, my trophy was because it was most inspirational because I would just like cough all other teams were doing free
throws. Bet you were an annoying fan. I bet you were an annoying fan.
Same thing. Most inspirational, most annoying.
Yeah.
I was. Probably most fouls, percentage-wise. Well, I was the second-worst team. We were playing La Mirada, the city, and I had 4 fouls in that game, and I didn't play a lot in that game.
That checks out.
Yeah.
That checks out. Eastside Chris, you fellas should congratulate my era. In middle school, 1966, they tried to teach us metric. Didn't go well.
The metric system?
The metric system? Is that what you're talking about?
Okay, this is America, and we have American measurements. We have yards and feet
texting
and pounds.
We had to do those PE tests and different things. And if you did so well, you won like a presidential award, which was a big thing. I was the only girl who could do pull-ups, and we had to do a rope climb and other tests. We never did the rope climb. The scooters were dangerous. Had a girl who whose hair got tangled up in it. We also did juggling with scarves. Yeah, we did juggling with scarves. Yes, why? Why were we juggling with scarves?
Yeah, there's no way. Like, some of this stuff, it feels like... Like an administrator at the top says, you need to be more diverse because
just
there are
play
some fat people who don't like sports.
Every day. Just play dodgeball and kickball every day. Why are we juggling? Pull out the juggler, and we had to do that for like 3 weeks.
I can't juggle. I can't.
I did learn how to do it with scarves, and then you were supposed to be able to advance to the balls, but I never got that far. It was like, why are we doing this? It was crazy to me. Texter here. Those scooter cart things were awesome. They must have been too dangerous because they went the way of the merry-go-round. Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, the merry-go-round. Yeah, no one has those anymore.
No, they don't.
And they don't have that, like, semi-sphere made of bars deal that you could climb
on top
of.
Like a spider web? I would always pretend we were spiders on it, and it would be like a spider web kind of thing? Yeah. You didn't pretend you were a spider? That was only
no.
me? Okay. I was in my own little world
sometimes.
You did sometimes.
Play handball in elementary school where you'd have, like, a tennis ball, and you just, like, hit it off of a wall. That was really popular.
Yeah. I just remember the equipment we had. I don't think you find equipment like this anymore. It was all wood. So,
oh,
like,
I
the
think
playground
some of ours
equipment
was metal.
Yeah, well, the slides were metal, so you'd fry your butt sliding down and then crawling up on the towers and stuff. It was all wood, so everybody had splinters every day. It was a different time, Mike, but it was fun. We didn't know. It was a good
now
time.
Now everything's made of a certain type of plastic.
Yeah, they're all pretty safe now.
Yay, oil!
Uh-huh. Yeah, the scooters, man.
I don't know what those scooters are. I didn't know that existed.
Let me find a... What are those called?
Scooters.
No. Well, I'm trying to find a picture. I want to show... Oh, here we go. Like that. Look. See it?
Yeah, never had those.
Never had those? Those are amazing. Texter... Can I tell that story? My wife's listening right now. She wants to tell her. She was, they did like, what do you call it? Field day? You know, where everybody's going around. You have different athletic activities that you can compete in and stuff. And if you win, you get like a ribbon.
I didn't have that.
So my wife was just looking around and she wasn't crazy about sports. She liked volleyball. I think she was pretty good at volleyball. But she wasn't crazy about sports. But she wanted to get a ribbon. So she just looked around at every activity that was around. And she basically looked at the one that didn't have anybody participating in it. So she just walked over. They gave her the shot put. She threw it, I don't think very far. And she was the only one in it. So they gave her a blue ribbon for it.
You go, girl.
Yeah.
Participation,
well,
trophies are the best.
It's kind of like the Captain America scene. Instead of climbing up to ring the bell, he just took the little screw out and dropped the pole and grabbed the flag off of it. And not a bell. I guess it was a flag. So my wife is basically Captain America.
Well, yeah, well... Well, Miss Marvel, she climbed up the pole.
Is that common knowledge? Is that a common knowledge superhero movie?
I think that's probably one of the least popular ones.
My wife said 0 out of 10 for story retelling. Okay, 2 out of 10. Really? I thought that was fine.
Oh, it was 2 out of 10 because you told her story.
I thought it was a fine story. Texter here, use the knee scooters. That's what they were, with hockey sticks. Best game of hockey. Could rival the Avs. Yeah, we would do... And your fingers, you're running over your fingers like 90% of the time. Tetherball.
I was in California, so we didn't have hockey. And I'm sure they have it now, but like back then it wasn't super popular until... Wayne Gretzky got to the team.
Faith says tetherball was a great game of death. Yeah, tetherball was.
Oh, I hated
intense.
Tetherball.
Oh, I love tetherball. We got one for my kid and he loves it.
Was voluntary, so that was like one of the things you could play in PE. So was handball. There was some weird stuff back then.
He said, Chris, again, in my formative years, rope climb, push and pull ups, set ups, 40-yard dash. Worst one was the mile. So you didn't do any of these goofy things that they made you do. Like, hey, we're juggling scarves today, everyone.
Well, push ups and stuff was more like a warm up for us. So it was like push ups, jumping jacks. And
yeah, we had to get
play.
Around in the circle and do the stretching and stuff. That was
something like that.
You always hated that part.
I remember we had I went to a private school, so I didn't have to go to the Southern California public schools and get stabbed. We had like a fun 1 year, like every year there would be a fundraiser. You'd get a sponsor, and then you would run around, and depending on how they decided to pay, they would either pay you $5 up front or, you know, a dollar a mile. And I got $27 from a guy who probably made minimum wage and was really poor.
But you ran a dollar a mile? You ran?
I was 27. Sorry. It wasn't a mile. It was a
around like swing. A tiny little
circle. It
was
circle. A circle thing.
Okay. It's like, wow, you were pretty good, Mike.
No, I was never fast. But like you'd run the first graders, second graders, third graders, everybody would kind of do their little thing. And once you got I'm not telling it very well, guys.
I'm sorry. I'm
just saying I made $27 for the school. You're welcome.
What did you do? Okay. Texter from the 970. Now I'm curious, does your wife actually listen to every show? Oh, no. She does not listen to every show. She has to hear me enough, man.
Only the ones that I participate in.
You know, she loves you.
She's liked the show ever since last summer. She's been like, you know what? This Mikey Kilpatrick is really making the show good.
I don't think she knows your name. Ryan texting, how about that weird scoliosis testing in like sixth grade PE? What was that? All right, we got to take a break. Let's talk, because you guys are bringing up random games now. But let's talk about that. It's July 30th. We've had a lot of negative stories today, so let's have some fun talking about PE and juggling scarves and how fun that was. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
This is fun. I like reading these. Text, I love dance, but never understood square dance. Yeah, that was bad. Did you guys do jump rope for heart? Yep, we did that. That was a fun day of nothing but smelly kids jumping rope for money. Yeah, we did that for sure.
I wish I had money. Can you do jump rope for me?
Yeah, that was fun. Jump rope for heart. I remember that.
I don't know what that is. I know that there was jump roping, but I don't recall us ever doing
that. For health or something, I think? Raising funds for, I don't remember what. Like I said, what we were told, man. Today, the next 4 weeks, you're going to be jumping some rope. Training for the Jump Rope for Heart event coming up.
I get that jump rope is very good for cardio, but it's like, it's not fun.
I like jump rope. I'm into that.
I feel like the square dancing and the electric slide learning was just for the people who didn't like sports.
They just got tired of, maybe just tired of it, because the PE teacher usually would have to officiate our games, you know. So maybe they just wanted to kind of sit it out for a while. So it's like, here's some scarves, go nuts. 12:49 the time. Let's take a quick break here, and then we'll wrap up hour number one, or two, excuse me. You got clip of the day. Boy, Harbaugh and McDaniel. That is one I want to see mic'd up all season long. We'll get to it coming up next. It's the whole show presented by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Did you know you can hear your favorite KFKA shows anytime?
Ooh, anytime that you want me.
Find podcasts of Good Morning NoCo, Coach Speak, and the whole show on Apple, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. I want to shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. They're half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. They got their free wine and beer tastings coming up tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Try something new that might become your next favorite. Coming up next, Michael, we'll get to the clip of the day, some CU Buff stuff, and more on the weird crap they made us do in school. Like, we'll get into that. That's always like a fun conversation. Yeah, why are we doing so much of that? Remember when the teacher told you, like, hey, you're not going to have calculators in the real world? I got one on my phone.
Yeah.
So I'm doing pretty good. It's a whole show. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.